Good morning, 7:39 on the Mighty 690 as we go throughout a Friday. And we had a twin spin on Virgil Peck. We got him last week. We get him again this week. So welcome back, sir.
Hey, yes, sir. Thank you very much. It's a difference, or it's amazing what a difference a week can make. When I was in here last Friday, I was 63 years of age. Now I'm 64. I don't know how I got a year older in that 1 week.
Wow. But, the heat ages you.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Something. And then, it's great. You talked about earlier the records that Kansas is setting this week and national record highs.
Hey, we'll take our national attention where we can get it.
Well, that's just it. I tell my wife sometimes any press is better than no press, and she doesn't agree with me.
Yeah.
But what does she know?
What can you say?
Yeah.
Well, hey, the temperature now says this thermometer has been all messed up. It was said it was 100 earlier. I was like, oh, that's bad. But now it's 97. But it's actually 75.
I was going to say.
I was like, man, this is something's really messed up. Anyway, yeah. Hey, I know we've had a ton of discussion here as all these different municipalities keep talking about budgets and they're approving budgets and they're having hearings. And I know you want to talk a little bit about some property tax updates and that sort of thing.
Yes, property taxes are something, James, that we are talked to about a lot as legislators. My entire legislative career, that has been probably the number one overall issue. Now, there are some issues that rise up and then go back down, but if you're going to look over a period of time, property taxes would be it, the most hated tax. And I think one reason is probably one of the most hated taxes is most people pay a whole lot more in income tax, but they do it in small bites. Same way with sales tax. You pay quite a bit in sales tax. It's the property tax. You get a statement, and it's due December 20th, the first half, or all of it, depending on how you want to do it. By the way, if you don't pay the entire or the first half by December 20th, on December 21st, the entire tax bill is due. Then you pay the second half in May. But revenue neutral hearings are going on. I urge property owners to show up at these revenue neutral hearings. These are going to be your cities, your county, your schools, your colleges. If they are exceeding the revenue neutral rate, and it's pretty simple, if they're bringing in a dollar more in property taxes than they did the year previously, they need to have a revenue neutral rate. There are exceptions for new property, newly improved property, change of classification, but we hear about people not liking their property taxes. Well, this is an opportunity to voice your thoughts to local units of government, revenue neutral. We did something in the Kansas Senate this last session. We're hoping the House follows through in 2024. We passed SCR 1611. That legislation would limit the increase in valuation on property to no more than 4%. And that's been some of the problem, is the valuation increases. Individuals receive a valuation saying, well, I didn't do anything to my property, and the property went up by 10, 15, 20% in valuation. This would limit it to 4%. If the House passes it, and then, James, if the voters pass it. So this is not something the legislature can do without voter approval. It would be a constitutional amendment to limit property valuation increases to 4%. We passed it 28-11. The House has to get at least 84 votes, and then it goes to vote the people. The way the legislation's written, in November of next year, November of 24, citizens would have the opportunity, again, if the House passes it, to vote to limit valuation increases to 4% rather than what they are, which there's no limit.
And these valuations are set by the county assessor, right? Well, their office in each county.
The county appraiser, yes.
Appraiser.
And some people call it assessor. Yeah. Doesn't matter what you call it. It's the same thing. But, yes, they set the valuations. They have a formula, in fairness to the appraisers. They have a formula that they're supposed to be following. Some of the problem we've had, as you and I have talked in the past, is someone will come into an area from out of state, doesn't understand anything about Southeast Kansas. They will see some property they like, and they really want it. So they're going to buy it, and they will pay a whole lot more for it than it's actually worth in the minds of most Southeast Kansas. Well, when a property sells for more than it's worth, that increases, according to the formula, according to the statute, the value of property in that community, in that neighborhood. Like properties are supposed to be valued at the same value in a community. Sometimes appraisers have to reach out a ways to find a property that would be similar to what you have to set the valuation. But that's what it is. It's because the valuations have gone up, and mine went up $13,000. James, I didn't do anything to my property. I mean, I mowed the yard and those kind of things, but I didn't paint anything. I didn't put any new roofs, no new buildings, no nothing. But my property valuation went up by $13,000 this year versus last year. And that's more than 4% significantly. So we'll see.
Yeah. Now, some people say, you know, oh, that's good because, you know, when you resell it, then you're supposed to get more, right?
There are properties, and I have had property owners tell me over the years, hey, I will take what the property has valued my property at right now. County come and buy it. And, of course, the county's not going to, but... And there are some properties that are undervalued. I got that. But, and by the way, on to sort of close out on 1611, Senate Concurrent Resolution 1611, it would be limited to 4% unless the property changes ownership, is reclassified, or if there are significant improvements, meaning construction, not just general house maintenance like a roof or painting the house. So there could be some increases past 4% with these particular changes.
Gotcha. So now you said there's another program that especially the senior citizens might be able to take advantage of in the form of freezing taxes.
Yes, this is something I've mentioned a couple times, but pardon me, it's something that I'm hearing from more and more seniors they are unaware of. So I want to try to make certain that more citizens of Kansas are aware. If you are a senior citizen, 65 years of age or above, your property taxes will be frozen in the year you turn 65. However, this started in 2021, so that's the base year. Whatever a person's property taxes were in 21, that's the way they'll be the rest of their life as long as they live at that location. Same way with turning age 65, whatever year, which next year will be for me, that will be my base year for property taxes on the property that I live in. If you move, of course, that changes the ballgame. Starts over at that new property. It is income-based. It's $50,000 household income, house valued at $350,000 or less. And I learned something I should have known. This is got a limited window. January the 1st to April 15th is when you can apply for a refund. So what you do is you pay your taxes just like you always have done. And then you apply to the state for a refund between what the base year was and what they were the current year. And you get a refund. So the net cost to your budget is the same, so it is frozen. It's also for disabled military veterans, so seniors and disabled military veterans. We had legislation last year, James, that would have increased the income limit from $50,000 for the household to $75,000 and increased the valuation of the home from $350,000 to $700,000, which was a pretty significant increase. But some of our Johnson County legislators said, hey, we've got homes, an average home in Johnson County is X number of dollars. Well, I'm not from Johnson County. I don't want to be from Johnson County. But I guess I got that. So that's a way to get some votes. We allowed that increase to go up. But the governor vetoed that legislation, did not take effect. So we're still where we were at this time last year. But I mention this because I think it's important for seniors to be aware. The state is trying to do some things to help with property taxes for you and for disabled military veterans.
Well, that is really good to know that there are some avenues out there. Now, switching gears quite a bit, you said there's been some new legislation or new kind of rules and such regarding trail cameras on some of this state and kind of public property, right?
You are exactly correct. The way you said it, eventually you got it right.
Yeah, you know.
It wasn't legislation. We're not in session. But it's part of the what we call a rule and reg process, rules and regulations of government entities. Now, this is something that kind of disturbs me. Not this particular one. I'll get to it in just a moment. But we have too many government bureaucrats that they establish rules and regulations, and they carry the same weight as a law. We attempted last year, November of 22, to allow a change in the Kansas Constitution so the legislature could reverse some of these rules and regulations much simpler than the current process. Voters, I don't think, really understood the issue, and they voted it down, so we didn't get it passed. But this new regulation handed down by the Department of Wildlife and Parks does disallow what we call, commonly us hunters call, trail cams on public property. The regulation, I'll read just the first part of it real brief. No person shall place, maintain, or use a trail or game camera on department lands or any images or video from a trail or game camera, including location, time, or date, for any purpose on department lands and waters, including walk-in hunting areas. So, I want it to be very clearly understood, this is only public land. On your private land, this did not change. My son frequently sets up a trail camera on my property, and it's amazing, James, what they see, what you will see walk in an area that you would never see personally. We've seen bobcats, we've seen some really nice bucks, but on hunting lands, on department lands or public property, hunters feel like when you have a camera, there's a couple things. One, they're frequently stolen. It's public property, public land. It's like, who's that? I don't know. But you still shouldn't steal it. You should leave it alone. But by a person having a camera on an area, in an area on department lands or on public hunting areas, they will check that camera on a regular basis. Well, when you go into an area as a human being, you disturb the natural habitat for the game. And you're there enough, and the game changes their routine in a day and just don't go to a certain area. So, but we could argue, or I could argue, I guess, both sides of that issue for a long time, but it doesn't matter. The regulation has been implemented, and it is in effect, so no more trail cams on public hunting areas, I guess, is the simple of it.
Sure, sure. Well, I can, like you said, there's probably arguments on both sides of the issue there, being public property and that sort of thing.
So. Yeah, it is. It's taxpayer property. People say, well, the state owns it. Well, the state doesn't own jack. It's the property, the citizens of the state are the ones that own the property.
Sure.
Then we've got something that disturbs me, and I trust and hope the legislature will take a look at. The Deputy Secretary of Commerce, while he was Deputy Secretary of Commerce, by the way, the Department of Commerce, that is Dave Tolan's department. Dave Tolan is our Lieutenant Governor. He is the Secretary. He's got two positions. He's got Secretary of Commerce position and Lieutenant Governor position. So he's double dipping on salary, making a pretty nice chunk of change for a government employee, which that's a whole nother topic. But the Deputy Secretary of Commerce, while he was Deputy Secretary of Commerce, bid on a contract, a consulting contract, with the Department of Commerce. And he was awarded that contract. So then he resigned from his position, and he's got a $180,000 a year consulting contract. He will be a mega economic development projects consultant. He was the lead on the what's commonly called the Apex deal, and that's where the Panasonic plant was brought into the state of Kansas, which is an electric vehicle battery manufacturing. We gave, and I opposed it, and it still disturbs me that we did this, James. We gave over $1 billion in tax incentives to Panasonic to come into Kansas. I got the argument that, well, it's nice to have economic development, create jobs, etc. Again, Johnson County area. But what about our current businesses? We haven't given them the same incentives to come in. But it disturbs me that the Deputy Secretary of Commerce had an inside track on this consulting contract, got the contract, decided, okay, I don't need my government job. I'm going to have a private job. But $180,000 a year contract is a pretty sweet deal. So I'm confident that will be looked at during this upcoming legislative session, because this was just revealed in the last few weeks.
Sure. Well, interesting. Appreciate bringing that up. Now, we do have, in addition, you're mentioning an audit regarding the rural opportunity zones.
Yes, that is a program, just briefly to remind the listeners. By the way, kudos to Jim Kelly. He worked his tail off. He worked hard as a member of the House to get the rural opportunity zone program implemented and then include Montgomery County and most of Southeast Kansas. But just a brief history, this Rural Opportunity ROS program is what we call it, was implemented in 2011 with 50 counties. It was supposed to be the 50 smallest counties that were losing population. And what the program did, it provided up to $3,000 annually for 5 years, so that's $15,000, towards student loan repayment for an individual who would move into that county from another state or from a non-Roz county in Kansas. Basically, what we were trying to do was incentivize people to move into the rural areas to bring in their expertise and their funds and their family, just to make rural Kansas a little bit better. And then there would be also no income taxes for 5 years, no state income taxes. So it was a pretty nice deal for young people, young families, or for anyone. But you, if you had a student loan, up to $3,000 a year for 5 years, and also for 5 years, no income, state income taxes. So it was a money saving to a lot of individuals. Now, over the period of time from 2011, the legislature kept adding counties, and that's where Jim worked hard and got Montgomery County involved. So we're now at 95 counties. That means basically there are 10 counties in Kansas, the 10 larger or growing counties, that do not qualify or participate in the ROZ program, the Rural Opportunity Zone program. And this program is a state-local match. So local units of government or someone willing to kick into the local unit of government must pay half on the student loan repayment, which is $1,500 a year per person. So if a county, and some counties, James, don't have the ability to kick in their portions, so even though they are part of the program, they don't have anyone in their county that's qualifying. So that's a little bit of background, how it started and what it is. But there was an audit or an evaluation of the ROZ program. We do that. As legislators, we want to look and say, okay, we implemented this program. Is it being successful? Is it worth having? Because without legislative action, it will expire in 2026. So we've got 3 years to determine, do we want to continue this program? But the audit showed that the Rural Opportunity Zone program just really isn't meeting the goal of maintaining or increasing the population in rural areas, because the 95 counties that qualify for the program over the last 10 years saw a loss in population of over 29,000 residents. Now, they did see an increase in population of 1,430. So that's still a significant net loss to these areas. Now, I know we can say, well, how much did we reduce the loss? How much higher would the loss have been without the program? I don't know the answer to that. But it's frustrating that the program hasn't been utilized as much. And I'm wondering, James, if it's a little bit like the senior citizens property tax freeze. It's just not known as well by some individuals.
Now, is this program, can still people still take advantage of it? You said it was going on until 2026, right?
It is.
Right, so, now, you know.
Yeah, they can get in. Okay. If you live in Oklahoma, hey, come to Kansas, live in Montgomery County, and you don't have to pay any income taxes for 5 years. And if you have a student loan, that can be assisted with repaying that. Frustrating to me was we didn't really, I mentioned Oklahoma because they're our neighbors, and we got a lot of listeners in Oklahoma. We didn't bring a lot of citizens into the state of Kansas. As a matter of fact, most of the individuals who took advantage of the ROZ program moved from one county in Kansas to another county, and then statewide. So this is something that frustrates me, but I think we've got to talk about it, face reality, work on it. Kansas population is just not really growing. We had the slowest growth in our last census that we'd had since the 1930s. We had a 3% growth in the state of Kansas, and overall 80 counties in our state lost population in the 2020 census. So we've got our work cut out for us as elected officials, business leaders. There are some good things happening, but some things we need to continue to do to improve Kansas, because we can't just continue to grow older like I am. We need young people, James, like you, coming into our state. But the Rural Opportunity Zone program, if someone is curious, would they qualify or do they want to get involved in it, holler at me, contact me, email, call 620-330-3839, or some way ask around. Let's get this program moving forward and being a better benefit to Kansas.
All right, State Senator Virgil Peck, appreciate you joining us.
Appreciate the opportunity.
All right, we've got news coming up.